950 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Justice Department's report on how police responded to the 2022 school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, is now out. The report said commanding officers, quote, demonstrated no urgency. They waited over an hour before entering classrooms where a shooter ultimately killed 21 students and teachers. Veronica Mata's 10-year-old daughter was among those killed. Veronica said before the report came out,
it's not about who the people are personally. But at the end of the day, that was their job, was to go in and protect our children, and they didn't do it.
The Senate set to vote today on a short-term spending agreement to avert a government shutdown. President Biden heads to North Carolina to talk about the economy. Republican presidential hopefuls keep their eyes on New Hampshire ahead of Tuesday's primary. And the coast-to-coast freeze continues. The cold weather has been linked to 37 deaths since Sunday. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The former chancellor at the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse says he had a meeting with human resources a week before he was fired. The conversation was about pornographic videos he and his wife created and posted online. Joe Gao says he did not expect to be fired as quickly as he was. 10% of Wisconsin teenagers tried to commit suicide last year. Teens tell surveys they're anxious about social media, school, climate change, guns, and politics. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. She says there is a silver lining.
The good news is that kids are talking about mental health. They're not afraid to say that they're anxious. They're not afraid to reach out for help. They're not afraid to support each other.
Hall says more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have student-led mental health programs. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WGBW and WISS. Most people are living well in northeast Wisconsin, but about one-fourth of the people in Green Bay tell a new survey they've recently lived with food insecurity. Natalie Baumstad of the public health group Wello explains what that means.
In the last 12 months, have you had to skip a meal because you didn't have enough to eat? So it does. It's about the access as well as the cost.
One in three people in Green Bay tell the Wello survey they're feeling a lot of mental stress and strain. Baumstad was on the Mino and the Mayor show on Civic Media. Five people are injured after three vehicles crashed on Interstate 43 in Sheboygan County yesterday afternoon. There were two people in one vehicle, three in the second, and one in the third. Three of the five people who were hurt were taken to the hospital. Officials say at least one of the drivers was not paying close enough attention in slippery conditions. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay getting ready for their divisional playoff game against the 49ers. What makes San Francisco's defense so tough? I asked Packers right guard John Runyon.
This San Francisco defense, they don't do as much as any other defense we play this year. They're going to play their gap. They're going to be sound. They know where they're going to fit in their scheme, and it's going to be up to us to, you know, take them out of positions, mess with their eyes and stuff like that. And they have a good defense, and they play it hard, and they've been doing it for a long time, and that's what makes them so good on defense.
The kickoff Saturday night at 7:15. NBA, the Bucks got blown out by Cleveland. The Cavaliers jumping out to an early lead. They won 135-95. Adrian Griffin on what he told the team after losing by 40 points.
You know, I just talked to the team after the game about we have to learn from this. You have to. You can't continue to make these type of mental errors when the first, especially the start of the game.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Starting off sunny today with clouds increasing, high temperatures climb to the teens, and with winds calmer today, it'll actually feel like that. By tonight, we'll see a few flurries flying around with chance of snow through the overnight, and we could be waking up to a trace to a half an inch of snow on the ground tomorrow morning. Currently, it's 6 degrees.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Fabulous Fingers Calvin is on the board. No. Calvin doesn't like that one.
No.
We're trying out nicknames, so if you ever have any suggestions for a nickname for our producer, Calvin, 844-967-2789. You can leave a message if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you have a question for our next guest, you can always call or text as well, as she does every Thursday at this time. It's Public Cervix Announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. How are you, my friend? What's going on?
Please don't call me Fabulous Fingers, but I'm so happy to be here with you.
Well,
you are an OBGYN, you know. Calvin is...
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, but yeah.
Calvin's cringing. Okay, well, we'll find a different one for you, Calvin. This is something that you talked with Pat Kreitlow a little bit earlier this morning. Greg also produces for Pat, and Pat's going to be joining us on the show tomorrow as well.
Yes.
He's going to be here in Waukesha. So over the first half of Matt Nair on Air, Pat Kreitlow will be with us in studio. But there is this bipartisan measure, Dr. Lyerly, regarding expanding Medicaid coverage for women who give birth. And
yeah,
it's stuck. It's just stuck.
It's stuck, and it shouldn't be stuck. This is not expanding Medicaid. That is a big effort that would expand Medicaid to all Wisconsinites. That's something we've been pushing for since Obamacare started, and we're still one of 10 states that hasn't expanded Medicaid broadly. But this is different than that. This is only extending Medicaid for people who have given birth. So postpartum Medicaid would be extended from 2 months after the delivery to 12 months after the delivery. Every other state has done this because it's so logical. It takes a year for your body to recover from a delivery, so you need that coverage for that full year. The only states that haven't done it are Idaho, Iowa, Arkansas, and Wisconsin. Like, we know, and the people of Wisconsin know, the legislators know that this is necessary. The Senate passed this with only one person voting against it. Bipartisan support. Remember, Republicans have a supermajority in the Senate, so they recognize that this is a priority. The governor has said he will sign it. We have enough votes in the assembly to pass it. The barrier is the Speaker of the House. We've got to get Robin Voss to bring this to the floor so that they can vote on it. If they can vote on it, this will pass. And ladies, half of us, half of my patients who deliver babies in Wisconsin will have their Medicaid extended, and they'll be able to get the services they need, which is life-saving care.
I'm sorry, but we have a terrible mother fatality rate. Maternal mortality rate. It's terrible.
Yeah, especially if you're a woman of color.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Lyerly, you said something very interesting, and I'd like you to repeat it for the audience. It's not just bipartisan support in the House, in the Assembly, as well as the Senate. Can you tell us, the listeners right now, who is agreeing on this issue? outside groups to just give them an idea of how universally no-brainer this is and why would Robin Voss not do anything. Go ahead.
Literally everybody agrees on this. Nobody disagrees on this. Pro-life people and pro-choice people agree on this. We don't agree on much when it comes to the maternal health space, but this is something that we unconditionally agree on. The OBGYNs and the pediatricians agree on this. The American Heart Association, the March of Dimes, there are over 40 people who have signed on to push this over the line, 40 organizations.
Yeah.
We know that we can get this done. We know that Wisconsinites want this because it truly does save lives. I mean, I didn't even talk about the medical piece of this. Half of the women who die related to pregnancy die in the postpartum period. Yep. And we know that 80% of these deaths are preventable. We can save lives, but we have to make sure that people have access to care in order for them to receive the care that will save their lives.
And so far, the roadblock that's being held, the roadblock holding it all up is one individual. One individual, not the party, not a caucus, not a group of people who are just being jerks. Sorry.
FCC rules and all.
Yeah, I know. Obstinate. they're not being obstinate for what seems like obstinate sake. It's one man. It's Robin Voss. And I posed the same question, Dr. Lyley, that I posed to you and Pat earlier, which is, this is a easy win. This is something you can get on a podium and tout and say, we are the party of life. We want to take care of the mothers. And like everything about this, I can write the press release in 10 minutes and he can go on stage and take
and be a hero.
Let him take, I don't even care about, like, let him take the credit. He can do so much with it, especially in the last year that he had. And the fact that he's not got fans now in his district, there is no explanation of why he's holding out.
Hey, I honestly have no idea. And I'm not an insider, so I don't have a clue. But I do know that if we, as the citizens of Wisconsin, gently say to him, you don't have to be forceful or mean, but you can call him. You can send him an email. His information is out there. We can post it. We will share it because all we need to do as Wisconsinites is just let him know, hey, bring this to the floor. Let our representatives vote on this because we know our representatives are going to vote for it. It saves lives.
Yeah.
The Voss block. He's our Tommy Tuberville. You know, one guy can hold up things that are very, very popular across all aisles.
Yeah.
And yet he refuses to do that. The only motivation I could possibly imagine is that doing anything in a bipartisan manner is now verboten. It's a bad thing. It's, you know, this is going to give Governor Evers a win. We couldn't possibly do that.
But Republicans want it too. Yeah. You know, Republicans are, they're hearing from their constituents. Like, this is very important in my life. There are so many people who are affected by this. So everyone knows about this. I mean, again, the Senate, there was only one person who voted against it in the Senate, and that is a super majority of Republicans. So this is not a partisan issue. This is a Robin Voss issue.
And from a point of view, from a strictly political point of view, even if you don't care about the mother or the child, I'd be in his office saying, I want to take this back to my district and campaign on it. Even the most fervent politician just wants that, at least. Not, you know, I can't campaign on this until we put it through. And
yes.
Also, 2023, regardless of all the craziness, it was a pretty banner year bipartisanship for Wisconsin. There was a lot of bipartisan bills that came through. And so it's possible to happen. This isn't, it's not, when I say it's not sexy, I mean, it's like, they'll pass it. It's good to go. Robin Voss doesn't win by letting this lose.
I don't know how you say that you are pro-life if you let this lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that can be applied to so many things, Dr. Lyerly. That, again, ostensibly, these pro-life people, and yet when it comes to putting in measures that would actually make life better or easier for women and their babies, they don't want to do that. And if you're just joining us, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here, as she is every Thursday at this time, for our public service announcement. And we're talking about a bipartisan measure in the Wisconsin legislature that would expand Medicaid
for postpartum moms
for 2 months to up to a year, which is crucial because of the terrible maternal mortality rates.
Well, look at what happens now in pregnancy. Like, when the baby comes out, the pregnancy is not over. A lot of people who are not familiar with pregnancy just think that, you know, like, that's it, done. But it takes your body a year to recover. And at 2 months, you have a 2 month old at home. They're still very little. You're struggling with maybe breastfeeding or trying to wean. Maybe you have a blood pressure issue that you're trying to get under control and figure out how to transition that into your chronic, you know, regular health scenario. Maybe you're dealing with postpartum depression. This is really, really common. One in three women experience postpartum depression. So if you don't have resources, if you don't have medication and counseling, yes, critical counseling, you are not going to be well. And if you are not well, you are at risk of substance abuse issues. You are at risk of suicide. I mean, we see people harming themselves because they don't have access to the resources they need for the treatable conditions that they are dealing with. This will help to provide them with that access.
And think about postpartum depression. And I can't imagine the guilt that new mothers must feel. And we've run some PSAs on this. And it's like everyone's telling me how happy I should be, and I'm just not. Yeah. What's wrong with me? It's not that there's something wrong with you, right?
Your body is just going through something big.
Well, and how do you even know? Because there are so many changes. You're not sleeping. You've got this baby that you're trying to figure out, and they're not always happy. And your partner is maybe around, maybe not. You know, who knows what your support system is? How do you feel internally? Is your postpartum journey, has your pregnancy journey been what you thought it was going to be? Does it meet your expectations? What does your body feel like? Does it feel good? Does it feel bad? How is your bleeding? What's going on with your breasts? There are so many different things that you have to cope with as a human who is recovering. So to not have that physical and emotional and psychological support is, we're abandoning new moms.
Yeah, absolutely. MyVoteWI.gov. MyVoteWI.gov. Go to that website. You can plug in your address. All of your elected representatives will come up. I mean, everybody.
From judges to,
you name it.
Dog catcher.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. Be respectful.
Yeah.
Be respectful. Don't be antagonistic.
Especially in this one, because it's just, like we said, it's a no-brainer to say, hey, guys, and call everyone who represents you and say, can you talk to this person?
And get something done.
Yeah, because we really want to see this happen. I mean, I'm not a father, and my wife doesn't want to have children, but we know friends who have gone through this thing. I have a friend, just by having one little complication, that year that you talked about became almost 2 years for her, because her body had to heal from several surgeries. And so the idea that we just, come on, you could do this, Robin.
It's not, it's Robin's Wisconsin, and we just get to live here. We will be right back, 844-967-2789. If you have a question for Dr. Lierley, it's our weekly public service announcement. Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-555-5555. 508-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Network. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Cool Cal on the board, coming to you live from her studio.
Oh, I like that.
The way
Cool
you
Cal.
Said that, you just looked at me like Cool Cal.
Huh? Right. It just got, ooh, it's kind of smooth.
Hi. Uh-huh. You're listening to Cool Jazz with Cool Cal.
Oh, all right. Well, that went over well. We're testing out nicknames for our producer, Calvin. So if you ever want
to. I still like Board Lord best.
Board Lord is good too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like that.
These
yes.
These are all from our friend here at Civic, Johnny Watermelon, wrote a whole list for us to kick around. So we're just testing them out. You can always join us. And if you have a question for Dr. Lagerly, absolutely, please feel free to call or text 844-967-2789. You can leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. We're going to move on and talk about sleeping.
Yeah. Let's talk about the sleepy girl mocktail.
What?
Do we believe these things, Dr. Wait. Lyerly?
Jane, where did you find this?
I don't remember. I look at so much stuff. It's like, well, that looks stupid. Let's talk to her about that. So
were you TikTok scrolling?
Maybe.
Is that
bad?
No, I think it's common. But you shouldn't necessarily get your medical advice from TikTok, but it does raise lots of interesting questions like, does the sleepy girl mocktail actually help you sleep?
And what is in... So this is a TikToker. She's an influencer on TikTok, and she claims that she's got this...
Therefore, she's right.
Of course. And, and so it's the sleepy girl mocktail. What is in this mocktail, Dr. Lyerly?
Magnesium, seltzer, and tart cherry juice. So maybe shout out for Door County, where we produce a lot of tart cherries.
Absolutely.
That could be good for our economy up here.
Like that.
I
love tart cherry juice. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's good. You can drink it in small amounts. It probably isn't going to help you sleep. It does have a little bit of melatonin in it, just a little bit. And melatonin, which we can talk about in a minute, has been shown to help with sleep. And there are some observational studies out there that show magnesium can help with sleep. But observational studies are more like, hey, I've noticed that when I take magnesium, I sleep better. But then when they actually put it into a randomized control trial, magnesium hasn't been shown to help with sleep. So both of those active ingredients don't necessarily have any scientific backing. And then the seltzer is, you know, just the vehicle to get it in you. So does it actually work? Well, maybe it works during dry January when really though, there's some thought that because people are not drinking alcohol might make you feel sleepy and it might make you fall asleep, but it is not good for the quality of your sleep. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't really drink that much anymore. I drink very little. And when I would drink and I would drink hard and I would pass out, I wasn't falling asleep. I was passing out. The next day, I never felt refreshed. Even though I sometimes blacked out completely, never felt refreshed, never felt woken up. And I was always looking forward to
going back to sleep.
Because I knew I was going to be dead tired by 2 p.m.
Yeah. I mean, but not being able to sleep is really a big issue for some people. And I mean, talk about making life difficult if you don't get decent rest. So I can understand why people might turn to something like this mocktail. I guess if you believe it hard enough, you can convince yourself that this is the thing that's working for you, Dr. Lyerly. We do that with other things.
It's called a placebo. And you're right. Placebos actually do work for sleep. You may find yourself in some sort of a routine that makes you feel like it helps you sleep better. And if it's working for you, if you're drinking this Sleepy Girl mocktail and you're not getting diarrhea from the magnesium, or maybe the magnesium is helping with an underlying condition like restless leg syndrome. Maybe you have that and you don't even recognize it. Maybe it is helping you sleep. If it's working, it's not going to cause harm. Stick with it. If it's not working, it's a really good idea to get your sleep evaluated.
Yeah.
And that isn't as complicated as you might think.
You know, can we talk about that for a second? Because So I got myself one of these fancy smartwatches, and I know that not everything they say is gospel. But I want to just share with you my sleep report from last night. Nearly 4 hours of sleep, went to bed late, not happy about that. Deep sleep was 1 hour. Light sleep was 2.5 hours. REM was 8 minutes. I was awake for 48 minutes. I score poor every time I look at my watch every morning.
Wow.
And I've come to the realization, you know, not the realization, but I snore and that keeps me up. I wake up in the middle of the night like gasping for breath. And I need help. Dr. Lyerly, what can I do to help?
I'm so proud of you, first of all, for recognizing that it's worth looking into, because I think a lot of us just feel like we are going to soldier through, we get enough sleep, we're okay. But the truth is that not only does it make us feel tired during the day, but it also affects your long-term health. It's related to blood pressure problems and other chronic health conditions. So if you suspect that you aren't sleeping well, it's important to evaluate it. And if you do have a smartwatch, that's a great place to start, because that at least gives you a little bit of information like, maybe I need more here. Go to your doctor.
Yep.
You can do an official sleep study. Sure. It may be, there are a lot of reasons why people don't sleep well. It could be restless leg. For you, it seems like you know that there's something going on with your breathing. So maybe you need something like a CPAP, or maybe you have some sort of a structural issue within your nose or deep inside your head where you're not passing air very well.
It's the head.
Many therapists would agree with you, Dr. Lyerly. A cadre, a baseball team's worth of therapists would agree it's in my head as well. But no, I will go to the doctor. I will schedule a sleep study, and hopefully I'll have some. I mean, and it's about admitting that I need a CPAP. I know I need one. And for me, when you, I think for a lot of people and a lot of men, there's an admission of like, oh, I'm overweight, or I'm old, or I'm broken, or we don't like doing that.
No one likes to do that. So. But it's important that you own it and recognize it. Right, Dr. Lyerly?
And it can be life-changing. You can have more energy. Yeah. You can live a longer, healthier life if you're getting good quality sleep. Yeah. So it is worth getting evaluated. And it's not just sleep apnea, like what you suspect you're experiencing. It could be anxiety that's keeping you up. It could be any number of other conditions that are keeping you up. So having that evaluated is really important. But if you don't feel like you are there yet and you want to try some other things, there are things you can do. You can avoid caffeine, and we talked about alcohol already.
Sure, totally.
Those are things that are, as Greg takes a big sip of his coffee, those are things that are notoriously bad for your sleep onset and quality. You can try over-the-counter medications like melatonin. Melatonin isn't like a sedative, but it is like a dimmer switch for you. It's like when the lights go down outside, when it gets dark, melatonin does that to your body. Okay. So that's something that's reasonable to try as well. And a ritual is always a good idea. Just doing the same thing, taking a bath, reading a book, avoiding screens.
Find a really boring banned book. That should put you out. No problem.
Boring banned book?
Dr. Lyerly joins us every Thursday from 11:06 to 11:30. Thank you so very much. We will see you next week. Stay tuned. The news is coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm a survivor. I'm going to make it. I will survive. Keep on surviving.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media?
Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Cursive writing would be required to be taught in Wisconsin schools under a bill in the legislature. The author is Representative Paul Melodic. He says learning how to write longhand is a benefit to kids.
There's a thought that this is not, it's old-fashioned, it's not something that's needed because nobody writes anymore, you know. So I understand the logic of that, but I don't agree. I think there's beneficial to cursive.
The bill got a hearing in the Assembly Education Committee yesterday. Enjoy those funny public service announcements on electronic traffic signs in Wisconsin while you can. It looks like they're going away in a couple of years. The Federal Highway Administration plans to crack down on those types of humorous messages. Critics say they can be confusing or cause distracted driving. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WGBW and WISS. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is asking for public feedback on its plans to expand Interstate 41 between De Pere and Appleton. That stretch of road is going from 4 lanes to 6. The DOT sent letters to 1,000 households next to the freeway. How they feel about plans to build sound barriers to cut down on noise. The agency needs at least half of the impacted households to say yes. DOT officials say they're confident they will. Brown County leaders are reminding homeowners having trouble paying their property taxes that there's help. The statewide federally funded Wisconsin Help for Homeowners program provides money for homeowners hit financially by the COVID-19 pandemic. Tax delinquencies in Brown County went up about 13% last year over the year before. About 330 Brown County households are eligible, but homeowners are urged to act quickly. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay getting ready for their divisional playoff game against the 49ers. What makes San Francisco's defense so tough? I asked Packers right guard John Runyon.
This San Francisco defense, they don't do as much as any other defense we play this year. They're going to play their gap. They're going to be sound. They know where they're going to fit in their scheme, and it's going to be up to us to, you know, take them out of positions, mess with their eyes and stuff like that. And they have a good defense, and they play it hard, and they've been doing it for a long time, and that's what makes them so good on defense.
The kickoff Saturday night at 7:15. NBA, the Bucks got blown out by Cleveland. The Cavaliers jumping out to an early lead. They won 135-95. Adrian Griffin on what he told the team after losing by 40 points.
You know, I just talked to the team after the game about we have to learn from this. You have to. You can't continue to make these type of mental errors when the first, especially the start of the game.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Starting off sunny today with clouds increasing. High temperatures climb to the teens, and with winds calmer today, it'll actually feel like that. By tonight, we'll see a few flurries flying around with chance of snow through the overnight, and we could be waking up to a trace to a half an inch of snow on the ground tomorrow morning. 8 degrees at our studios.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Hey,
morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Good morning, La Crosse. Good morning, Eau Claire. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Dr. Dials Calvin on the board coming to you live from our studio.
Sounds like you sell soap.
In downtown Waukesha, we're trying out nicknames for Calvin. Not everyone is going to be golden. You got to see what the mouthfeel is like.
Oh, God, stop saying mouthfeel. What was the one before?
Cool Cal?
Yeah, I like that one.
You like Cool Cal?
Cool Cal.
All right. You can always join us, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. He joins us every other week to talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company. Sports guru Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What a game, the Packers and the Cowboys. I know Stephen from Green Bay was the one who he was very confident. He had called in and said, we're going to be fine. And he was right. I did not think, I certainly did not think it was going to end the way that it did.
I mean, it was a good score, but like when I was watching, it was like 32 to something. And then it was like 32. We gave up 16 points. So there was a lot of room for like, oh.
They made it closer than they should have. They pulled starters a little early. I know Joe Barry's taken some heat for the quick catch-up that the Cowboys did in the second half. I don't even blame him that much for that. At that point, they were trying to keep starters healthy, and they didn't let it get close enough that it was really ever in danger. Like 16 points is still two touchdowns and two two-point conversions. It's closer than it should have been. But other than that one particular person, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams saw them taking apart the Cowboys like this. It was one of the most impressive performances of the season for any NFL team. The Cowboys' defense was no lower than fifth by any metric out there, and they just tore them apart. Nobody has gotten anything close to that against the Cowboys this year. I'm more surprised by how the defense showed up, honestly. But Jordan Love was phenomenal in that game, and I think more than anything, they showed that the Packer receivers are just – all pretty much the same level of good. And whoever draws the other team's worst defender, which was Romeo Doubs in this game, is just gonna eat. And you know, Aaron Rodgers back in the day, he would always have his favorites. He would have Devontae Adams,
right,
who would always lead the NFL in the percentage of his team's targets that he got. He just leaned on him so heavily. It was Lazard after that. He would never spread the ball around. He would never do this, no matter how evenly spread out they were. And Jordan Love just seems to like everybody and is able to hit everybody. And so there is no way to hide your weakest defender against the Packers. Cannot be done. It is an impossible task. And Love was amazing. Had a perfect passer rating until he had to go back in through an incomplete pass. No worse than the fourth best playoff debut in NFL history by a quarterback.
That's an amazing stat you have in your head.
I looked it up. So, and honestly, you can argue it's the best, the actual best by, unfortunately, the best by most metrics is actually Tim Tebow. And that game wasn't actually good. It's just that he hit like two big passes, so he averaged 30 yards of completion. But it really is probably Love. It's probably the best playoff debut of all time.
Well, it's just so delightful to see such a young team with such a young quarterback and a new quarterback. Granted, it's not like he's brand new to this. He's been sitting on the bench for a long time. But to see them to come out and just really execute so well. Yeah. Now, next up, we've got the 49ers.
Yes. An entirely different level. The Cowboys, the only thing you can count on the Cowboys for is Mike McCarthy, the former Packer coach, running his old stable of the same old plays, which he did, and which is why he got intercepted on a triple slant play that everybody's seen him run a zillion times. The 49ers are coached by Kyle Shanahan. He is almost certainly the best coach in football. He is definitely the best offensive coach in football. And if there is any other good coach in the NFL, they almost certainly learned under him, including Matt LaFleur, who was under Kyle Shanahan in, I think, Atlanta and maybe in Washington too. He was under Sean McVay, who is himself a Shanahan disciple in Los Angeles. And of all the people who run the similar offense to the 49ers, the Packers are probably the most similar. They like to get a little bit heavy. They have that sort of distributed class of receivers where they're all kind of as good as each other. And the thing, McCarthy got fooled. Kyle Shanahan will not get fooled. This will not be a situation where we outsmart the 49ers. That's not going to happen. And if you're worried about Joe Barry showing up badly in this game, that's probably a legitimate concern. The 49ers are stacked across the board. They have the NFL's best receiver this year, Brandon Ayuk. Their best tight end this year, George Kittle. Their secret weapon, Deebo Samuel, who is the best run-after-the-catch receiver probably in NFL history, and the best running back with Christian McCaffrey. So that's what you're looking at in this game, plus a coach who knows what to do. It's a tough match.
Do you think with the success over the past few weeks, Joe Barry has gotten a reprieve, or do you think he's on borrowed time?
I think that every time they win, his chances improve.
Yeah.
That last game was, let's give credit where it's due.
Yeah.
Joe Barry called a good game in that game, even though they gave a lot back in the second half. That interception Darnell Savage had was a tape study interception. That was a coaching interception. J.R. Alexander getting his was an athletic play, but he was doing a good job playing aggressive and shadowing. And so I think for now, if as long as they don't get like give up like a 40 burger against the 49ers or something more than that, he's probably safe. He's put together a few good performances in a row. I don't think that's necessarily the best idea. We have a long track record of Joe Barry being Joe Barry. But I also think it is a sure thing that he gets outdueled by the 49ers. He gets to practice against this every day. He's familiar with it. And last time we played the 49ers in the playoffs 2 years ago in Lambeau when it was negative 10 degrees out, he actually had a pretty good defensive performance too. I think he was helped a lot by the weather and Jimmy Garoppolo's thumb not really working properly, but it's happened before. So I have some hope in this game. I think the Packers they're equal on offense. It's just, they got to get a little lucky on defense to pull this off.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Acme sports writer Paul Noonan. He is also a sports guru just in general. And we're talking about the Packers facing off against the 49ers this coming Saturday night. Big, big game. So we have a chance. I want to know how I should feel when I'm prepping to lead up to that. Should I be
so
hopeful?
I've got a good secret. I got a good secret one for everybody.
Okay.
So on paper, the 49ers were far and away the best team in football this year, by any way you want to slice it. Best point differential in the NFC, loaded on defense, loaded on offense. Here's a fun one, though, all right? And this seems to be at least semi-real. Their quarterback is Brock Purdy, a seventh-round pick. Mr.
Wait, Irrelevant. What's that name again?
Brock Purdy.
Oh, my God.
A Purdy quarterback. He is, first of all, people don't necessarily give him a lot of respect because he plays in this awesome offense with an awesome play caller. But he's been leaps and bounds better than past 49ers quarterbacks. I think he's at least okay. But here's a fun thing about Brock Purdy. He's got tiny little hands, 9.25 hand measurement at the combine. And for that reason, he actually seems to struggle when it rains. He's had his worst performances of his career when it's been wet. And that even includes like a quarter this year where it rained, I think against Cleveland, where he was awful. And then it dried up and he was good again. It is, in fact, I know, right? We dig into everything here. It is, in fact, supposed to rain in San Francisco this weekend. It's supposed to be wet. We may have a wet ball game, and it's a problem for Purdy. He doesn't throw as nice a ball. When the ball is wet, it does not spiral. He doesn't have a good arm to start with. He has, like, a mediocre arm. And so, hope for rain this weekend. It actually might make a material difference in the Packers' chances.
Well, and that sounds very much to me like something that a person who bets on sports would know. You know, the small hands in the rain. It's, you know, that sounds like a song. My little paws in the rain.
Brock Purdy. He's got tiny hands and he's scared of the rain.
I'm melting. Paul Noonan is our guest. We're talking Packers 49ers. I want to go back to Mike McCarthy a little bit. I just saw this morning, Paul, that he's staying with the Cowboys. They're not going to cut him loose.
I was going to say, is he staying or are they keeping him?
They're keeping it.
Yeah.
Everybody expected Mike to get fired. I think most people expected it like immediately after the game. And it's one of these things where you can view Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, is actually taking sort of a measured perspective here. McCarthy has put together three consecutive 12-win seasons for that team, which he, you know, was pretty good at when he was the Packers coach as well. It's just that in the playoffs, when people spend just more time game planning And when you run up against the other sort of newer, more creative coaches, he just can't compete with them. He seemingly hasn't come up with anything new since he was the Packers coach. And that's what lost him this game fundamentally is the Cowboys just don't run that many plays. They're easy to spot on tape. They rely on overpowering people with talent, but it's just like everybody's got them figured out. And if you took away CeeDee Lamb, which the Packers did very well, they run like the same slants and slant and go patterns over and over and over again. The Packers jumped it a few times and it's going to keep happening. Like Mike's not getting better. He's a good Monday to Saturday coach. He gets his team very organized. They run efficient practices, but in terms of creativity and implementing the new ideas of the NFL, he's backward. You're not going to win a playoff game with him unless you just put together an overwhelming talent. And they don't have that in common. Like, they just don't. And I'm very surprised.
Yeah, and I am too, Paul, because you would think that if what you want are some new plays and some new direction and some new vision, is there no one out there who's in the running to replace someone like McCarthy? Are they just all inexperienced?
There's a ton of good options out there. A lot of them are interviewing right now. Detroit's offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, is very sought after and runs a very sophisticated offense. In fact, one of the problems Detroit is likely to have in the future is they have a defensive-minded head coach. When you're a defensive-minded head coach, your offensive coordinators get poached for head coaching positions all the time. Detroit will probably worse next year without Ben Johnson, but he's going to end up somewhere. He'll either probably end up in with the Chargers or Washington or somewhere for sure. Shane Steichen, who is the Colts offensive coordinator, would also be an excellent selection. If you're wondering why the Eagles got so much worse this year, it's because the Colts poached Shane Steichen from them. And without them, they regressed quite a bit. This is actually a really good offseason to move on from your old state head coach. And I think Dallas is going to miss a window on some really good candidates by doing that. Dallas is attractive, too. They have a good talent level. And coaching there, Jerry interferes. That's annoying. But like generally speaking, if you can get some buy-in to run your system, you can be very successful there very quickly. It's a coach's dream. So I'm not sure what they're up to there.
You can't walk into Dallas and be like, with any other expectation, that Jerry Jones is going to be on your call sheet every single day telling you exactly what he thinks and what you're doing wrong. So that's part of the package deal. I mean, he man owns the stadium. He built it with his own money. But we only have a couple minutes left. Can we talk really quick about the trouncing of the Bucks last night?
We can.
We got a couple minutes left. Just the fact is that Giannis wasn't playing. 40-point loss. What is that saying anything, or is that just an off night?
It's an off night plus a couple guys banged up, plus mostly Giannis not being there. But I think it does go to show just how much their system is suffering under Adrian Griffin, and just how much they rely on Giannis being superhuman to stay competitive.
Yeah.
They have a good record. They've hung with a lot of teams, but a lot of those games, A, have been close, and B, they've actually still benefited from a lot of three-point luck. The good teams they play tend not to hit their threes. That tends to regress to the mean after a while. It did in this game. You shouldn't get blown out without Giannis out there. Losing, yes, fine. He's your best player. But it's not like Lillard is some scrub. You know, you still have a pretty star-laden team, and you shouldn't just be getting destroyed because Giannis has to take a night off. So it's worth monitoring. I still don't think they're very well coached. And I think that when they do have to rest important players, this might be not 40 points, but kind of the norm.
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Thank you so very much, Paul. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
When we return, weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We got some snow coming our way. We'll tell you all about it. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I'm Scott, the owner of Solid Fire Pits. When I began welding my custom-made fire pits for friends and family, I shared them on TikTok because I was just so proud of them.
Check it out. That's beautiful.
I posted every new fire pit design, and more people kept ordering, from 26 states and counting. Then on my birthday, I had my best sales ever. Now how can the universe beat that?
Solid Fire Pits is just one of the 5 million U.S. businesses that rely on TikTok every day. TikTok sparks business.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the sound surgeon Calvin on the board.
Okay.
What do you think? Not that one.
Okay. No, don't like it either. Board Lord or nothing.
Okay. We're working on nicknames for our producer, Calvin. If you have any suggestions, 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
And we are delighted to be joined. Well, delighted is it because we like you, not so delighted with what the weather is, but weather and wine, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is joining us. We have, at least in southeastern Wisconsin, Brittany, we got snow coming in tonight, right?
Yes, you do. Southern Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin. You'll get a quick shot of snow pushing in after 5 or 7 o'clock this evening, 1 to 2 inches. It's not going to be a big nuisance whatsoever, but a little slick and slippery, and then the winds, and then the cold. We've got a lot. It's a roller coaster.
So we are, but it's still going to be like 37 degrees next week, right?
Yes, it is. But we've still got to go through a few more wind chill advisories before we get to that.
What is life without a few deadly wind chills to deal with?
Jane,
it's just a Tuesday.
Jane, patience is a virtue.
That's true.
My concern, Brittany, with this 2 to 3 inches of snow, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, at least here in southeastern Wisconsin and in Waukesha, certainly in Milwaukee, the side roads are still terrible. They're really terrible, and it's that all that snow and then that uneven stuff, and then it all froze when we had that deep freeze, and the plows haven't been able to scrape all that stuff off yet, and I was fishtailing on my way in this morning. I was going 30 miles an hour. You hit some of these patches, and it just grabs your car. So with those couple of inches we're going to have on top of all this icy stuff, people may really want to, you may want to use some extra caution tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because our temperatures are so cold right now. It's not allowing the salt to really work.
No.
So it hasn't been able to eat at that, and the sand a little bit for some traction. But other than that, yeah, it's going to be a lighter, fluffier snow too. So it's going to blow around and drift as those winds pick up overnight tonight and into tomorrow as well. So just a little bit can cause a decent problem out there. So a rough commute tomorrow morning for sure. Leave early, take your time, and it's going to be cold. Especially in the southwestern Wisconsin, they're going to clear out a little bit faster. You got wind chill advisories. You've got them too, that go into effect at 3 a.m. last until 9 a.m. where we're going to be feeling like 25 below tomorrow morning again.
Why do we do this to ourselves? Why?
Because we have great falls and summers.
True. I did not. Okay. Falls and summers. Okay, cool.
Right.
I'm sorry. I did not hear that correctly. Thank you so much for the update, Brittany. We always love having you on the show. It's very fun. As I've said before, your word choices are exquisite. Chef's kiss.
You make him very happy.
Thanks.
And when I talked to you about being on the show today, I said to you, let's talk about some of the other things you enjoy. Like, you know, like, what do you do for hobbies?
You didn't emphasize
I'm getting to my joke. We wanted to get to know you a little bit more because you're new here and we love having you here. And what you proceeded to give me as a response was another weather report. I won't read it. But that's the thing is, like, you love this, don't you? You love this.
I do. I live and breathe weather.
So give us a short bio on Brittany Merlot. Like, where did this come from? Was it always like this?
5-year-old Brittany.
Yeah. Were you handing out, you know, barometers to friends and, and saying, you got to handle your business with your snow plowing. It's going to get worse.
Or did you like start a barometer club at school?
Oh, yeah.
You know, actually, it was the opposite. So I grew up terrified of weather. I hated it. I was scared of every storm, everything, because my family was in an EF5 tornado when I was 5 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh. Terrifying.
Yes, yes. So that did some trauma to me, right?
No, yeah,
see
of
that
course,
devastation.
Of course.
Yeah, at such a young age, I grew up taking it serious. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And then when I got into college, I was all into reporting and news, and I didn't know. I was like, wow, we have meteorology classes here? That's fantastic. So I started taking them, and boy, are they hard. If you've ever taken a meteorology class, a lot of people get turned away quickly from that. But I powered through. I was like, Batman, I don't care. I'm facing my fear. And I did. I figured the more I knew about it, the more I'd be prepared, the less scared I would be, and the more I could help other people. And so then, you know, before I started storm chasing with College of DuPage, all across the country, learning tornado genesis. I interned with Tom Skilling in Chicago, learned all about that lake effect snow, and it just started going crazy from there. Just the passion is thriving for sure.
I know who Tom Skilling is. That's how like that's big deal. That's like the weatherman. That's the meteorologist in Chicago.
Absolutely.
That's an amazing story.
It really is.
That is awesome.
You are a real life Helen Hunt in Twister.
I was going to say, you're better than the movie Twister.
But seriously, and now I'm going to wait for you to invent Dorothy 1, and you're going to send it up inside the middle of a tornado, and you're going to change the course of our entire life.
It's very possible.
I mean, I'm on track for that.
I have that scheduled for tomorrow. But first, let me give you another weather report.
You want another one?
I got them. No, I got all sorts.
But I really do give you a lot of credit, Brittany, for facing something that scared you so badly and justifiably so from such a young child, you know, being so young, and then powering through all the math in those classes. That's I'm so impressed that anyone has the ability to do that, because I cannot do that.
Yeah, it was tough. And I didn't stop at my regular degree. I got my master's too while I was working. So I was full time on TV starting off, and then hitting the books and going back to TV.
That's amazing. Yeah. And when I refer to you, as a meteorologist. Do you get upset if someone calls you a weather person or a weatherman? You're like, excuse me, meteorologist.
No.
Okay.
I mean, some people do. I, you know, if you listen to me and you hear my forecast, you know I'm accurate. I don't care what you call me.
Dang, Brittany Merlot, you know I'm accurate.
We need shirts. Merch.
Oh, I like that. Ooh.
Gloves, hats.
Brittany merch.
Next time I'll have to show you my wine bottle that I use for measuring snow. It's a perfect little label. We'll bring that on next time.
Wonderful.
Sounds great. Thank you so very much, Brittany. It's always lovely having you on the show. We're so glad you're with us on the Civic Media Network. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Yeah.
News is coming up next, followed by the one, the only, the Todd Father,
Todd
Alba Show. You can always call us, text us. Thank you so very much, Calvin and Greg, and thank all of you for listening. Without you, we got nothing. Mm-hmm. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show. Join us at noon on Thursday. We'll be broadcasting live from downtown Milwaukee at the State Public Education Convention.
Bell & Helph salutes the work of Martin Luther King Jr. as we celebrate his accomplishments in civil rights, his leadership in fighting injustice through peaceful protest, the March on Washington, the Montgomery bus boycott, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts, and more. MLK led the way for millions to work toward achieving equality. This week, join Bell & Helph in recognizing Dr. King's accomplishments and contributions with Civic Media.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.